association with whoone.co.uk presents the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
You wouldn't believe who we got here. Dr. Phil from Adventure Time, Space, and Music.
Mary Lang from the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
And Matthew Kressel, occasional contributor to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
You wouldn't believe it, but we're here sitting here at Chicago TARDIS after Toby Haydock's fabulous follow-up to Mozzie and My Doctor's Scarf, the My Stepson Stole My Sonic Screwdriver, and it's probably been a great con so far.
Oh yes, definitely. Oh,
amazing, just amazing.
I wish you were all here. What have been your favorite bits so far?
Oh, definitely getting the chance to finally meet my favorite Doctor, Sylvester McCoy, and getting the chance to tell him that, and getting him to say, that's my favorite thing to hear.
Oh, that's good. That's great.
Yeah, my favorite thing was the reception on Thursday night, getting to talk one-on-one with all of the guests, including Sylvester McCoy. The best part was Bern Gorman, you know, who's known as Owen Harper in Torchwood, sat down at our table and talked with us for a good hour. He was so much fun.
I was just kind of amazed running into people like Simon Fisher Becker in the hallway, Andrew Cartmell, and just going, wow. And, you know, knowing me, I spent all day kind of hunting Mark Ayers and chatting with him, and really just loved. And the coolest bit of news, this is probably a bit of a scoop, is that for Terror of the Zygons, they announced that there's a missing scene from the beginning that's going to be on the DVD of the TARDIS materializing invisible with Harry, Sarah, and the Doctor, that they were able to restore from black and white footage and audio that came back to them. So that's one of the reasons why. So you can watch a special edition Terror of the Zygons.
Yeah, and I got to discover that Tony Lee, who's known for his comic book work for Doctor Who, is also an amazing comedian. I saw him do two totally spontaneous bits that went on for a good half hour or more. He was so funny.
I thought the masquerade was stunning, and our wonderful master of ceremonies, the master, was great. And he came by when they were trying to kill time before they came up with the results. And I go, hey, master, tell us about that wonderful time near the radio telescope. Oh, you mean by that time when the Doctor fell to his death? Oh, I like you. And I was just like, wee, you know. But I don't know, it's just really neat meeting everyone and seeing all the people, seeing all the little kids having a great time. And I just find it magical. There was one weird thing amongst the cosplaying things was the Dalek control turtle that was wandering around. Someone brought a turtle that pulled little toy Daleks behind it, which was a bit strange.
And there was a full-sized, remotely operated canine. He was beautifully done.
It was an adorable dog with a canine shell on it who actually had pre-recorded dialogue on its back you could press to get it. I think the only ribbon I got was from the Suntaran, and I got a picture of it. You know, I got a little Atmos. I guess at Galley they have all these little ribbons you can get. The Suntaran, when I yelled Suntar Ha, you know, I got a ribbon, which was kind of fun.
Well, I got the opportunity to sit on stage with some of my fellow contributors to the new book, Outside In, and also got to take part in my first ever book signing as a published writer. And at one point, was sitting there signing a book and suddenly turned around, and none other than Andrew Cartmell, the script editor for the Seventh Doctor era, was suddenly sitting right next to me.
What a charming guy, too.
Oh, very nice guy. And I got the opportunity to tell him that, you know, you script edited my favorite era of the show. And he was, you know, saying, thank you for saying that. Is it because you grew up with the show? And I had to tell him, I said, I'm going to make you feel very old, but I was born the day before Happiness Patrol Part 2 originally aired in the UK.
Wow.
I know you're massively jealous, I know, hearing us talk like this, because you don't get to go to many things, do you, Adam?
Well, this is just a chance for us to get to send you in a report that probably no one has yet. And knowing, you know, from the DVD panel, all sorts of neat things that came up, and diplomatic comments about the Ian Levine shot of it were said. there's a lot of really neat things in store, and it seems like there might not be an end to the DVD range when the raft, you know, when people thought there might. So they're probably going to be creating many more good bits of content and special editions for us to stay purchasing for a long time to come yet. Amen to that.
Amen.
And I have to give tremendous thanks, particularly to Matthew, because me being a first-timer, I didn't know how it worked or where to go, and Matthew took me in hand, not literally, but he guided me around, introduced me to people, and essentially got me into the experience, and so I really, really am grateful to him.
And since you can see it so well in audio, as wearing a stunning Seventh Doctor outfit.
Oh, amazing, yes.
And hopefully you'll see many pictures of that up, either through the Chicago TARDIS's Facebook page or others. So.
Oh, I've got three people going to email and or Facebook send me pictures of all the costumes, and me and Matthew and Dr. Phil. So I'll be posting them all.
Any other favorite panels you guys have been to, by the way?
Well, I had the opportunity to take part on sort of a retrospective panel on the Seventh Doctor era, which was exciting for me, even though I barely got a word in edgeways. But it was amazing to be sitting on stage with people like Jonathan Bloom, one of the novelists, who's written for the Seventh Doctor, and getting the opportunity to talk about that era and what and the great things about it that a lot of fans just simply overlook.
I really, you know, I mean, this has been the third time I sat on the podcasters panel, and I found that probably the brain trust on that stage, besides myself, was quite significant, and it was quite nice. Then a nice shout-out went to Ken Deep of Podshock, who wasn't able to be at Chicago TARDIS because he's been for the last several years because he had a heart attack, and the amount of love that's kind of been going to him, and people like Louis Trapani, who suffered a lot from Hurricane Sandy, that the sense of community here has been just staggeringly beautiful. And it's kind of like, for someone like me who goes to early music conferences, it's kind of like, oh, this is my tribe. These are my people. It's really a lot of fun. And it's great to actually see the faces in person of people that you've either heard in podcasts, you know, or had your own mental image of what they look like. And then you see them in person and you're like, oh, okay, that kind of really, you know, fills out your mental image and makes it even more human.
Yeah.
And I have to say that Dr. Phil gave the 20 megabyte podcast a not just a mention, but a lot of support when he was sat on the panel.
Oh, well, it also helped that you had your awesome 20 megabyte shirt there, which you know, I mean, last year I remember I made a podcast shirt for mine, and I realized I'm not going to do that this year. You know, because it was just so much fun to get to go around and just chat with everyone. I mean, I met people who I didn't, you know, it's like I go, hey, did you get that shirt from this podcast? There was a person who had a You Had Me at Geronimo shirt from Who on Who. And I go, hey, you guys, is that a Who on Who shirt? Yes. And they're like, oh, and you're Dr. Phil. And I'm like, hi, this is really neat. I have to get a cell phone picture. I'm not a stalker. I'm just sending it to David right now. And watch, I deleted the photo. See, I'll save. But just, you know, it's, you know, Friday was not terribly packed, but today was pretty busy, and tomorrow should be a lot of fun. But all of the guests have been stunning, and the fact that you can just kind of approach them, you know, I mean, I kind of was a blubbing idiot. I got here early this morning, and Sylvester McCoy was going by, and I'm just like, hi, I really liked you, and Death Comes to Time, and no one ever says that, and hi, you know. Which is exactly how I was when I went to my first galley in 97 and couldn't say an intelligible thing to Colin Baker except for, oh, what's your favorite episode? You know, like, ah! You know, but, you know, you feel really lucky getting to meet people that you've been wanting to meet your whole life or since you were a kid. And that's why it's a joy to be able to come to things like this. So, Adam, get to Cardiff and go to the official convention. You're much closer than us in the States.
Oh, and I have to report the disappointing experience of my attempts to get Sylvester McCoy and Sophie Aldred saying something about the 20 megabyte. My recording device died in my hotel room, so I didn't even bring it. And every time that I had concentrated time with either one of them, I did not have any kind of a recording device with me. So, but whenever Matthew or Dr. Phil loaned me one of their devices, should the opportunity arise again, of course it never did.
That Murphy is a real optimist, man. But we hope that this is a little taste, since you guys are not able to be here with us, that we can be able to send our love back to you. And, you know, from everyone here in the U.S., you know, hope everyone's having a happy Thanksgiving and a very great start to your holiday season filled with lots of Doctor Who goodies. Oh, did I say that? Yes, sir.
I hope you enjoy watching The Doctor's Daughter, which stars the Doctor's Daughter as the Doctor's Daughter, who becomes the Doctor's Wife, who ends up having the Doctor's Daughter, who is also the Doctor's Granddaughter. Make sense of that if you can.
And Arthur from Excalibur, which is another great movie that featured Patrick Stewart in it, too.
Yes.
And Liam Neeson.
Well, we'll be talking to you soon.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mary and Matthew and Dr. Phil, for that lovely bit of audio. And here we are with Kirby Bartlett-Sloan. Reese Parton. And welcoming back, brace yourself, listeners, it's Robert Haynes.
Oh, I braced too hard.
I'm back and front and sides.
Yay.
Oh, I thought of a much better one. I was going to say, I was going to distract him, not clobber him.
Pardon?
Never mind. Welcome.
No, I was going to say, hell hath no fury like a hat.
Oh. But you were going to say that, were you? Well, you just did.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Robert. It's lovely to have you back. I'm Adam, by the way. Obviously, don't know that.
Are you? Really?
And I'm in a serious discussions, well, fairly serious, with, do you mind? Obviously with magic at the moment. Shut up! Serious discussion with Alicia Pearson with a view to trying to get her on a show at some point. I said to her this morning,
what show would that be?
I'd like to get you on a show. Well, you don't ask me. I said, well, I do ask you, but whenever you're recording, you're upstairs on phone to Levi, which is a girl's name, apparently. I always thought it was Levi was a boy's name, but Levi's mum decided to call her daughter Levi.
I thought they were a pair of jeans.
Never mind. So, yeah, it's difficult getting her on. I'd like to get her on, but she's sort of like in limbo in regards to podcasting at the moment. We're getting closer and closer to Isabella's 8th birthday, when she will become part of the show on a full-time basis. I know it's a year and a half away, but it will happen. And we'll could be going down a new avenue then. Because it will be a case of Isabella will be watching every single episode of Doctor Who from the beginning. And that will become part of our show. I know you'll find it boring, but there you go. It might just be a segment of the show, but we will be doing it.
Singing.
What?
We'll have singing.
Yeah.
No, she won't sing when she's eight. Well, I don't
Why
think
not?
She
will.
I don't know. I'm just thinking what Alicia was like when she was eight. Okay, well, I've got some things to get through today. I think I'm going to start randomly with I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
You are?
They conspired. They conspired to get Colin Baker evicted from the show. Normally,
yeah,
it was down to a vote from the British public, and the one of the least votes gets hoiked off. But on last night's show, the bottom two in the vote went to do a head-off sort of challenge. Something like that. Basically, and it was quite interesting because I had this wall of what looked like roundels. And inside the roundels, they didn't actually pick up on the roundels on the programme, but inside the roundels were creepy crawlies, crabs, and God knows what. And Colin and his sidekick for the thing, or you could say companion, was Janine from EastEnders, so it was just Charlie Brooks. And they both had a go at putting their hand in the hole and pinging out what would be stars. And the celebrity with the most mini stars at the end of the task would then stay in camp. So they had this challenge. Eric Bristow, who was the World Dance Darts Champion. Say dance? I meant darts. World Darts Champion. A few years ago now. Was against them. Very competitive.
Darts.
He could do. But anyway, he won, basically, and that's what got Colin Hoyt out of the show. So, yes, I consider it a conspiracy. It's a shame.
Did he lose any weight?
Oh, very much so, yeah. Very much so. He still looks a bit plump, but his waistline, which stretched the buttons on his shirt when he went into camp, the shirt was hanging loose over his belly when he left. And he can visibly see he had one less chin. But yeah, consider. I mean, he must have lost a couple of stone. But bearing in mind, he was probably about 20 odd stone to start off with. You know, he's still quite a large man still. But he said he's not going to go back.
I lost some weight and sympathy as well.
Yeah, but I'm surprised you've got any weight left to lose.
Yeah,
I know.
Rafe. So whose phone's that? It's normally Mary's, but we can't blame her this week.
No, it's my phone.
Is it? All right, tell them to shut up.
Shut up! It was Mary's.
Robert, so, are you back to full fitness now?
I'm still a bit weak, and I lost all the weight I gained, so well, I have to go through it all again.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, you better hurry on and stop.
Putting it back on really again. Crappy medication as well.
Oh, God.
Like stuff they give for people with leukemia.
It's ironic because in the new year I'm going to have to go on the opposite of what you're doing, which is a diet, which is going to be a bit of a shame.
I asked your mum, I said, can you lend me some of your weight?
Yeah, if I could, I would. But I will be dieting. As I'm writing the third instalment at the moment of Troy's diary, I'm going to sort of put that into the storyline so as to sort of help
start
me.
From the cover.
I've had to do the cover for the second book. That's out. That's in process. This is the third instalment.
Yeah. Well, you have to get to the cover earlier this time.
Yeah, I don't know about that. That's a long way off because I've got a good year and a half to 2 years of writing ahead of me before it can actually get to cover stage. But The Diary of an Unwilling Virgin was about a 15-year-old Troy, the main character who writes the diary. So now it's come full circle where Troy himself has a 15-year-old to deal with. So it's like, he's now
so
become a parent of
now?
It. I've got 20-something, 25.
Oh, okay.
He's adopted.
How can you have a 15-year-old at 25?
Yeah. Adopted.
Ah, okay.
Married someone with a 15-year-old daughter. Yeah?
Okay. Hey, don't spoil the plot. Don't spoil the plot.
But anyway, so basically, I'm going to bring that into the storyline, so try and help me lose weight, and it becomes part of the story as well. So there you go.
I just posted a photo of Colin Baker as he greets his wife while leaving the...
Oh, so look at that.
On Facebook, in the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group.
Thank you for plugging it.
No, good.
And a very good segue that was. So did you listen to the show while you were in hospital land?
I did, and I had a good laugh.
Did you? Especially
about Mary going, Adam. Yeah,
she is our onboard impressionist, and she's not here today to. I'm looking forward to a Reese impression. Right, there we go. All right. Anything else happened whilst you were in hospital that might be interesting to us?
Not really. I just had lots of medical appointments.
Oh. Shames. Did you watch any Doctor Who?
No. I had a good chance to listen to some Doctor Who audios, though.
You did?
Listen to the Lost Story, the first of the Colin Baker ones, the Nightmare Fair.
Oh, that was very apt.
I listened to the Mahogany Murderers.
Did you?
Which has the first sort of like one, it's companion chronicles for Jago and Lightfoot from... What's the name? That was quite interesting. And
what's the name?
I've also been listening to the Countermeasures box set.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the people from Remembrance of the Daleks, Chunky Gilmore and...
Yes, I've heard of this, yes.
It's quite interesting. It's a bit like a bit Avengerous kind of thing. And Department S, all those sorts of ones from the 70s, 60s and 70s.
So you've been entertaining yourself.
Yes, well, I thought I might as well see me as I didn't have the strength to do anything.
No,
might as well listen to some audio. So yes. Good stuff.
I'm sorry we weren't issuing enough episodes or as many episodes as normal while you were.
I couldn't download them anyway because I was stuck in hospital.
Well, you should get the hospital next time you go in because no doubt you will.
That's a good strong reception, but yeah, you have to get their password for their.
Well, the Wi-Fi. do they charge for that?
No, you can't, because it's just for hospital use. So.
Oh, that's a bit of a shame, isn't it? They should make it for patient use.
Yeah.
I mean, you're in hospital.
My laptop, the fan gave up, so it's in repair at the moment.
Oh, dear. Right. Oh,
well. It's no longer a fan. Oh, well.
Yeah.
It had to happen at some stage. Right, then. There's a few things.
Did it really?
What do you mean?
Did it really have to happen?
Well, it does generally, so I have to say it had to happen at some stage. Right then. I don't know what to do next. But I thought I might do whowon.co.uk because somebody are going to blame Kirby this week because it's the first name that sprung to mind. Keeps forgetting to mention them. Right. Who
Wait,
won?
You mean whowon.co.uk?
Well, you mention them now just because I mentioned
who
it first.
Whowon.co.uk?
Did you say that
They're
right?
They're a good site.
Yes. Whowon.co.uk. Yeah. They have a facility where you can pay by PayPal. I hadn't noticed this before, but I just thought I'd mention it now, which makes things very easy when ordering stuff from their site. Latest products include the DWM454, which has a lovely picture of Paul McGann in a leather jacket on the cover.
Yes, yeah. It's got a feature of the new audio box set, the Dark Eyes, it's called.
Yes, and it's also interesting, they're depicting the Eighth Doctor now with leather jacket and shorter haircut, which obviously... what the Ninth Doctor wore. It's not exactly the same type of leather jacket, but it's interesting that they've steered him away from one style into another one. Yeah, but so that's quite interesting. We got expandable, I think they spelt that wrong, expandable flannels. They forgot to put the D in there. Nick, if you're listening. £1.99. Basically, they're tiny little flannels in a pack. You chuck them in the water and they expand into normal size flannels. Bathroom gift sets, nice little Christmas gifts, which include a TARDIS shaped wash bag, a sponge, and a shower gel. If you've obviously got skin problems, you might want to check.
I like the
check
next
to see
item.
That, what, the screwdriver toothbrush?
Yeah.
That could double up.
Sonic screwdriver toothbrush.
That could double up as another thing, but we won't go down that road.
Excuse me?
Sonic screwdriver, Robert. Bath jelly. What the next act? Dalek bath jellies, £2.99.
Dalek.
I suppose that they're sort of smelly and you can use them in the bath, perhaps. I don't know. Bath robe, Captain Jack.
Captain Jack
sort of, yeah, it's like his jacket, but in the shape of a bathrobe. £49.99. And those are all available at whowon.co.uk. And Kirby's just going online to buy his bathrobe as we speak.
I don't think so.
But there's more.
That would look very fetching on you.
But it doesn't say dressing gown, it says bathrobe. There's more.
What's the difference?
Same difference.
I'm not gonna, I was going to crack a joke, but I can't be bothered. We've also got 1001 Nights, which is a big Finnish production starring Peter Davis. My nose. I need blowing it. It's affecting what I'm.
Bathrobe.
By Rick Briggs. And we've got Auntie. Be quiet, Magic. We've got Auntie Matter. This is a Tom Baker story by
Auntie
Jonathan Morris.
Matter.
Auntie Matter. And that appears to have the late and great Mary Tam in it. So that's going to be quite a sad one to listen to.
She's got the Fourth Doctor ones coming out in January as well.
Yeah, that is due for release in 2013. So the next item that sprung to my eyes was a thing called Bathrobe Fourth Doctor. Which is a rather fab-looking
dressing
gown with a scarf sort of thing and brown. And
I'd love that.
A little bit like the Fourth. I mean, if you had that and the scarf that I had, that would be almost a fancy dress outfit.
Hey, do we have? Can we get pictures when you dress up with that, Adam?
I'll consider it. And another item, bathrobe TARDIS. It's a dressing gown.
Dressing gowns are a bit Arthur Dent, aren't
like
they?
A TARDIS.
Yes.
So there you go. More information, go to www.whowon.co.uk, where these and other items are available for your perusal. Thank you very much. Yes, indeed. I've got some audio feedback, by the way. And from an unexpected source.
I did not say that. That was...
You have a message. Connecting source? You now.
Hi. Ow.
It's Lewis. Back at the restaurant, at the end of the podcast. But not the end of the universe. I'm recording this in the future, and you can rest assured, the world does not end on December the 21st. It actually ended at the beginning of November. Natasha had an accident with her vortex manipulator while trying to tweet and triggered the apocalypse. Sure, blame me. Fortunately, I was able to press the reset button, copyright Russell T. Davis, and put everything back the way it was. Well, almost. In this new universe, Southampton can actually win football matches.
We won yesterday!
Anyone has noticed.
Just to add not having to
the discussion last week about the Suntar and two-parter, the Rutans have already returned. They appeared in the Doctor Who Gunpowder Plot adventure game, where their centuries-old conflict with the Suntarans was brought to a gripping conclusion with some assistance from the Doctor. That is the signal for me to go and feed Amy and Rory some fish fingers and custard. Amy and Rory? How can Amy and Rory be here? They really are a pair of ducks. Natasha and Amy and Rory signing out.
Your message has ended. Have a nice day.
I'll have a nice day when I can actually hear it.
That was a funny thing. On the end of that, you just heard Kirby saying, I'll have a nice day when I can actually hear it. I thought I was going to hear it. Oh, was that you actually saying that? Thank you, Jim the Fish.
Yay.
Apart from the comment about Southampton, who are now out of the relegation zone after beating Newcastle United 2-0 on Sunday. Oh, that was yesterday, wasn't it?
Congratulations.
Anyway, I've got the thing called the Top 30 Doctor Who podcasts, and they go...
Hi.
Pardon?
Oh, my.
Right, oh, my, indeed. They go like this. Number 30, Earth Station 1. Number 29, Who on Who. Number 28, The Cultdom Collective. Number 27, Tim's Take On. Number 26, Staggering Stories. Number 25, The Who is the Man podcast. Number 24, The Doctor's Companion. Number 23, The Time Vault. 22, 2 Minute Time Lord. 21, The Big Finish Podcast. And into the top 20, number 20, Podcast Who from geeksradio.com. Number 19, The Preacher's Podcast. Number 18, The Whoniverse, a Doctor Who podcast. Number 17, Police Box Paradox. 16, The Casterbarus podcast. 15, The Unearthly Child podcast is back, everybody. That's been away for a long time. Hello, James. Probably not listening. Number 14. 14, Doctor Who. The dog's just tripped over the microphone cable. Thank you very much. Thanks, Magic.
I've never heard of that podcast.
No.
It's actually the Doctor Who Who's He podcast. Number 13, Doctor Who.
I don't know who is he.
Be quiet. Doctor Who After Buzz TV After Show. Number 12, Doctor Who Review Today. Number 11, Doctor Who Sciency Wyancy Podcast. Number 10, Doctor Who Prognosis Negative. I forgot to say into the big top 10. Number 9, The Crinoid Podcast. Number 8, The Omega Podcast. Number 7, The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Yay!
Number 6, The Memory Cheats.
Excellent.
Number 5, The Pharos Project. Number 4, The Flashing Blade. Number 3, The Ood Cast. Number 2, The DWO Who Cast. And at number 1, Radio Free Scaro. So there we go. There's quite a few.
Imagine
of the big
that.
Quite a few of the big ones actually not having shows sort of up in time for the charts cut off, but there you go.
Seems to be getting back to normal, though, the charts, don't they?
No, because, like I say, we haven't had the Doctor Who podcast in there. We haven't had...
It doesn't matter. I'm saying it seems to be going back to normal. We're in the top 10. That's something, yeah?
But if those three shows were out, we wouldn't be in the top 10. But I'm quite happy that we are. And we're above the Omega podcast. Yay!
Yay!
For the time being and temporarily.
Not that we have anything against them.
Is it?
No, I just like being above them in the charts. It doesn't happen very often, so I make the most of it.
It's not a contest, but hey, we're in front.
Yay! All right, I suppose we better move on to the Doctor's Daughter. I've actually made notes this week because I've worked out... Now I've got a thing on the Mac called Pages. It makes... What the... It's a funny noise. What was that used to? Yeah, Pages. I can write on my iPad and it'll go on to the Mac. And
as we shift into the 20 megabyte Apple podcast.
I haven't mentioned that. You mentioned it. I never mentioned it. Yeah, it just makes things like that. I can have one window. I can actually write with the window next to the thing I'm watching. So it makes it very easy. Does that make sense to you? Right, so here we go.
I thought Windows were not Macs.
Here we go. Doctor's daughter.
Never mind.
Oh, you've left me. Made me lose my place. Yes,
it's still dark outside.
Be quiet! Stephen Greenhorn, who wrote this magnificent story called The Doctor's Daughter. And here we go. Doctor reveals the hand in the vat, at least I think it's a vat, is his while he, Martha and Donna wrestle with the console. And it's sort of because we pick up basically from last week, which they don't do a lot in individual stories in the new era. If they do that, it's normally because it's a two-parter. So it makes it feel a bit three-parterish in a way, because it's a, you know, they do completely carry on from the previous story. They land in a tunnel and the Doctor is forced to have a tissue sample. And he commentates whilst it's all been done.
I think that's a bit silly, though, don't you reckon?
Yes, absolutely.
Because in usual circumstances, you know, Time Lord DNA, you wouldn't be, oh yeah, I just keep my hand down here.
Yeah, he didn't really struggle too much.
They don't explain why they want to do it until it's actually done. Yeah. And also, they never do Martha or Donna.
No.
That's because the Hathor
are... Because he's a male, though. And the males do the fighting, don't they?
Well, I don't know. But anyway.
I don't know. Well, Jenny does the fighting,
They materialize in a shooting range.
Yes.
The Barry shooting range, which was in Torchwood. Yes, you just said that.
Okay. But yeah, he didn't really offer up too much of resistance to having his hand shoved into this machine. And like I said, he does commentate on what's happening, because obviously he doesn't do the commentary, you don't really know
and
what's
all
happening.
That happened very quickly too, about 50 seconds
Killing
in
me.
It happens.
Yes.
Very fast paced, wasn't it? And a girl appears out of a cubicle with lots of steam in it, or black eyes, or whatever you call it. And then she's given a gun, and the Doctor says that she's his daughter. And she says, "Hello, Dad."
And the thing is, she is really the Doctor's daughter in real life.
Oh, yeah, let's not go down that road, because this is what... Yes, I know. This is what Matthew and Dr. Phil were going on about at the beginning of the show.
And it's very freaky.
Well, we don't know that. We haven't heard that.
Well, you should have paid attention.
No.
What do you mean? Of course we have, Kirby.
yeah, by the way.
In the commentary, they mentioned that she's wearing the world's tightest pants.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Thank God for that. The Doctor's daughter is ready to fight. That's the last thing I wrote on that particular... What? Yes?
What? Ready to fight.
Fight!
Fight.
Fight.
Yeah, you want one then? Come on then! Oh, sorry. Sorry to repeat myself. The Hath turn up and a battle ensues. Martha is kidnapped, conveniently, and the Doctor's daughter sets off an explosion, conveniently, that seals off the tunnel. Obviously, then allows
CGI wreckage.
Allows Martha to have a...
Did you notice the guns?
Pardon?
Sorry, Kimmy.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, the guns look like they're just gas-firing kind of things.
Yeah.
Firing
gas out the air.
Yeah, I didn't really
notice. Have you noticed a lot of the little pieces of metal in the corridor look very Dalek-like?
Yeah, I hadn't noticed that, but good point.
They didn't use that same girder, did they?
Probably.
The one that crops up in Davros later on.
Yeah, but if you notice, there's scenery in Classic Who that crops up in loads and loads of stories.
Oh, yes. They're doing that with the Nightmare of Eden commentary they're talking about, or not commentary, or the info text.
Yeah.
About reuse of this was in certain episode. And
I'm sure there'll be a book out about something like that soon. Anyway, the Hath turn, I've talked about it a bit, sorry, I've got backtracked a little bit there. Martha comes around and among some rubble, and there's an injured Hath with her, and she turns into Dr. Martha.
And we experience the main problem that I have with this episode, and that is the failure of the...
Them. The failure of the what?
The failure of the TARDIS translation circuit.
Oh, for us, yeah. But not for Martha.
It works for her.
Yeah. It works for her, but not for us.
Doesn't work for us, no.
But in a way, I quite like that. Yeah,
in the commentary, they say that they were, someone was watching, there was a version that they were watching, maybe a test print that had subtitles, and they removed them.
Oh. But we didn't need them in the end. But anyway, yes.
Can I mention something about the hat?
It bothers me.
I'm sorry.
You know something that bothers me? If you have a look at the hat, you know how they're supposed to be bubbling all the time? If you have a look at some, in some, they're not bubbling. Some are bubbling, some aren't. So
maybe they're just healthier than everyone else.
Inconsistent.
It looks to me like with the Ood that there's one working, all-encompassing
Hat
head, and then the others are just...
Yes.
And the Jadoon.
Right.
Okay. Yes. A bit like how some Sontarans keep their helmets on and some...
Yeah.
But anyway, I will say that I quite like the scene where, you know, she examines him and realises he's got a dislocated shoulder, and she the soldiers turn up and they're just about to shoot her, and then she relocates the shoulder, and her friend sort of puts his hand up to stop them from shooting her. I quite like that scene.
Relocates?
Then,
where does he locate it to?
Be quiet. And then she gets all cheesy. I'm Dr. Martha Jones, and who the hell are you?
I'm bringing you back to Earth.
Yeah, it's very cheesy. Donna gives the Doctor's daughter the name Jenny after something to do with generated something or other, and she shortened it.
Generated anomaly.
That's it. The Doctor refuses to accept the parental responsibilities. Do I?
Why, how much does it cost to pay attention, though?
I'll say that line again. The Doctor refuses to accept parental responsibilities. They arrive, so it'd be a good subject for the Jeremy Kyle show there.
And then they meet King Arthur.
Eh?
Oh, good grief.
A very dodgy accent.
Goodness me, Adam.
That's not King Arthur.
Nigel Terry, come on.
What?
You
never saw Excalibur?
Was he? I never saw Excalibur.
No, you need to see Excalibur.
No, I didn't. I watched Merlin. That's got a much younger version of King Arthur in it.
Yeah.
It's finishing now.
Is it?
Yeah, this is the last run of episodes.
Yes, I wonder why they're alluding to the death of King Arthur in it, but there you go. Back to Doctor Who. They arrive at General Cobb's HQ. Martha reaches Hath HQ, and she gets molested by loads of Haths. I thought that was
as you do.
Donna starts noticing numbers. Obviously, she's got a lottery ticket with a very different
cinema that they're in.
Oh, he has spoken over my joke. Magic. 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 Don't look all sleepy. Magic. Attack.
Yeah. No.
I've lost my joke now. Where did we get
it? Try again. Edit it out.
Numbers.
I've lost. Yeah, sorry. Donna starts noticing numbers, ready for obviously a lottery winning ticket when she leaves the show.
Numbers tonight are 33.
That really went a bit flat when I had to say it a second time. There was. What were you going to say? Interrupting my joke with the way Kirby. I'm going to have a jelly baby. It's jelly baby time. Carry on.
The black theater that they use for the headquarters is a memorial hall for the buildings. The Saline Collieries Institute was established in 1898 by a group of local miners with the aim to provide social amenities to fellow workers. The memorial hall was built in 1924, dedicated to those who died in the First World War. The cinema is located on the upper floor of the memorial hall.
Amazing. All that from memory, too. I'm astounded.
Yeah, Wikipedia is good for that.
Other people's memory.
Yes.
Yes. Basically, she knows. I'll start again. She notices the numbers.
Shut up, phone.
It says has gone on for countless generations. Apparently, whatever was going on there. This war, I think. The Hath bubble, but Martha makes out she can understand them. I forgot to mention the fact we can understand them, but. Then that didn't seem to matter.
Kirby did that.
The Doctor reveals, a whole layer of hidden tunnels with his magic wand, stroke sonic screwdriver.
He's doing a lot of revealing tonight, isn't he?
Yes, yes.
The Hath and the humans want the source. That's basically what they're both sort of fighting over. The
what,
doctor.
May the source be with you.
Tomato? Or,
all three of you all at the same time.
Barbecue. HP? Mm. HP?
The doctor likes sauce.
May the source be with you.
I think he's thinking of the innuendo type sauce. Never mind. Ooh, Donna says, oi, oi, call the beans, Rambo.
Oi.
As they are incarcerated for pacifism. Doctor calls Cobb Captain Nutjob. What do you love?
Just the incarcerated for... what's the word again? I've forgotten it.
Pacifism.
That's
pacifism.
The one. Yeah. I heard it, it just wouldn't come out of my mouth.
So that's what she said.
Oh, goodness.
Thank you. There's my impersonation. You've done one.
Anyway, Donna calls Cobb Captain Nutjob. I do quite like that. Jenny calls her dad a soldier because he's strategizing and using his sonic screwdriver as a weapon. Martha calls in on the phone. They chat for a while before getting cut off. Obviously, they're obviously with O2. The doctor tries to get Jenny to stay behind while they escape because she is a soldier. But Donna uses a stethoscope, obviously she nicked off Martha, to show him Jenny's two hearts.
No.
No?
She gets it from the doctor. She asks him, "Are you still carrying that stethoscope?"
Well, that means the stethoscope the doctor got off Martha then. The doctor reminisces about the Time War, and they realise that they are more similar than the doctor thought. Martha plots with the Hath. Her friend decides to go with her on the mission to find the doctor, but he's not too keen about going out onto the surface of the planet. Jenny flirts with the guard and gets them out of the cell. Donna decides to have a go at the next guard, but the doctor puts a stop to her plan.
Yes. I love that.
I was going to describe him, not clobber him, says the doctor, after Jenny knocked out one of the other guards. Will it work?
Save your wiles for later.
Well, it worked, didn't it? She said. Martha persuades the Hath to go outside with her, and that obviously wasn't a particularly good decision for the Hath, but it was a good decision for Martha, because obviously the Hath saves Martha, but dies as a result. Cobb pledges war against the Doctor. There are more numbers, and Donna starts writing them down. They run, as the humans are fast on their heels. Lots of running in this episode. There's a corridor with lasers protecting
it. Running down corridors. Mm. Yay!
There's a corridor with lasers protecting it. That's reminiscent of Resident Evil 1, in which there was a corridor with lasers down it. But when they run down it, they got sliced into bits.
No, you're thinking of the movie.
Yes.
The game doesn't have it.
Did I mention the game? I said Resident Evil 1. It's the film.
Excuse me, there's a Resident Evil 1 game.
But it's not called Resident Evil 1, it's called Resident Evil.
Game.
Girls, calm down. Calm down.
Wasn't that a good scene, though, with lasers cutting in?
What, in Resident Evil Volume film?
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
But anyway, can I help? There's a corridor, yes.
The doctor uses that toy rat twice in this episode.
Does he?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, oh. When they were... he used it to distract guard earlier when they were in the cell, and then he uses it to see that those lasers are deadly, and it gets destroyed.
Okay.
Oh.
Rats and corridors make me think of the towns of Wing Chiang for some reason.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Good point. I hadn't thought of that
myself. It's just very much smaller.
Yeah.
It probably looks it looks a little more realistic.
Anyway. basically the doctor needs to turn these lasers off so they can go through, and he actually does so, but while he's doing that, Jenny's sort of keeping lookout. And the Doctor and Donna get through, but the lasers come back on before Jenny can get through, so she does a bit of a somersaulty thing through the corridor, which impresses the Doctor.
Yes, he was impressed, wasn't he?
Jenny is trapped with a flips through the lasers and hugs her dad, saying she could have killed Cobb, but she didn't. Martha and Hath struggle through the wilderness, and Martha rather clumsily falls into a swampy thing.
Isn't that
she
stupid?
She has
a
Sarah Jane moment.
Yeah. That was my Sarah Jane falling down the big bank.
More impressive than the five doctors, though.
Yeah, as I was going to say, the five doctors.
Yeah,
just walking over that tuft of grass.
Well, she had very odd, dodgy-looking shoes that day. anyway, she starts sinking, then the Hath sacrifices himself to save her, but he's a fish, so surely he'd be all right. I don't know.
Well, no. When he sinks, as he sinks, you can hear the glass on his little screen.
They put that in afterwards. Anyway, Martha is distraught. Probably the most acting that Martha's actress... Sorry.
Where did you find that word from?
What, distraught?
Yes.
With the dictionary.
Yeah, Free Madgerman had to do a bit of acting there. That was I was trying to allude to. The doctor says he will take Jenny with him. Ah, we know that's not going to happen. The doctor tells Donna The doctor tells Donna that he's been a father before, but he lost it all long ago. And then he said, "The hole they left, all the pain that filled it." Sorry, I'll say that again. "The hole they left, and all the pain that filled it," which I thought was quite a good line.
Yes.
Indeed.
Well, Susan had to come from somewhere, didn't she?
Indeed. They run again as the humans have blasted through the beams. Martha arrives outside the main spaceship. Donna starts to decipher the numbers, and Martha enters. The doctor...
For one of the... How long is Martha with the rest of the group in this episode? 5 minutes?
Yes, yeah. The doctor reads the ship's log and realises what's going on at this point. The crew divided into two factions that turn on each other. Donna realises the numbers are the completion dates for each section. And the crews have only been at war.
It's a good thing they didn't make it microscopic. Just to...
Yeah.
They wouldn't have been able to figure it out.
Correct.
Yep.
The crews have only been at war for a week. They meet up with Martha and then... They smell flowers.
How do they know that they use days, and that represents days?
Because she said
those days are around the wrong way too.
She said it's the US calendar, something like. Didn't she? Pretty sure she did. Or the doctor said that anyway.
They could have been years,
but they weren't. Anyway, Bougainvillea.
That's what she said.
The book said something else. Anyway,
Bougainvillea, the flowers they smelled. No? Okay. They reach the source, which is a terraform...
Television on.
Be quiet. They reach the source, which is a terraform...
And roast
sauce.
Sake.
HB, tomato.
Barbecue. Which is a terraforming device, a la Star Trek II. So Spock, obviously, was some sort of...
It's the Plantagenet Botanic Gardens. The Roth Park was used for pickup.
What, in Star Trek 2? Let me know.
No.
Fact we've never had before.
No, where Genesis, the source is.
Genesis.
It's Quanti.
Oh, okay. The humans arrive, as do the Hath. The Doctor explains the situation. He breaks open the globe, and the Time Lord energy fills the air. Well, it wasn't actually Time Lord energy. It just looked a bit like it, and then it got very confusing later on in the story. The guns are put down, except for Cobb, who goes to shoot the Doctor. Jenny takes the bullet and dies.
Jenny?
I've got a bone to pick with that, because...
Have you?
Where did he actually shoot her? It's supposed to be in the chest, was it?
Which is it? Yeah. In one of her hearts.
Her T-shirt is intact.
Yeah, but...
There's no...
Yeah.
If it was torture, there would have been all sorts of blood and gore, but this is Doctor Who.
Yeah, this is Doctor Who.
The Doctor
at least ever had a hole in the T-shirt. Come on.
That would have been good. The Doctor gets all emotional, and there's no regeneration. And I had a bit of lump in my throat when I watched this morning, that particular scene. I thought it was quite moving.
Yeah.
The Doctor grabs Cobb's gun and aims it at his head before saying, "I never would."
Saying more like yelling.
Yeah, but yeah, then
he had a Gilmore type gun, didn't he?
Yeah, then he had a massive speech on stuff. Jenny is laid out while the terraforming takes place. Jenny was the reason the TARDIS was taken there, but they got there too soon. A bit of a paradox there, as the doctor did mention about the paradox, didn't he?
Who was the other doc?
Out.
Martha.
Out.
Yeah, Martha.
Get out.
Yeah. The doctor takes Martha home. Donna says, how can she ever go back to normal life? She's going to travel with the doctor forever.
Right.
Jenny is prepared for a funeral, but some terraform stroke Time Lord energy comes out of her mouth and she escapes in a spaceship. There we go.
Using the same chair that Oswin uses later in Asylum of the Daleks.
Where did you get that little fact from?
I saw it on the internet.
The internet.
By the way, this particular conservatory, Plantasia in Swansea, was also used in Cold Blood as Dr. Nazarene were walking through the Silurian city.
Oh, I thought it would have been used in Waters of Mars as well.
I know, but it wasn't. They used a different one.
Oh, okay.
I guess they thought people would recognize it. I don't know.
Right, before I move on to the email that I've got, so what do we all think then of Doctor's daughter?
Is it right?
When I watched it, I sort of switched off a bit. I just knew it pretty much what was going to happen, and the only sort of exciting bit was, I guess, with Jenny, I suppose, being the Doctor's daughter. And you sort of left at the end sort of wondering, I mean, people are still thinking, oh, is she going to come back or not?
Yeah, also that's quite clever because they can always do that, but whether they do it or not, I do not know.
How could you be watching it if you switched it off?
Oh, goodness.
This is not one of my favorite stories at all. It's pretty much at the bottom of this, of the particular series. It's just got... It's just not very good. I remember all the build up because we had all heard, we all knew the title for months and months and months. And then we get in and find out what it is, why the title is what it is, 30 seconds in, and we all go, oh, gee.
that's what it is.
But I didn't, when that happened, I thought, well, that's exciting because if she's made from him, that makes her a Time Lord. And that's what sort of drew me in straight away, because obviously they had, like you say, at the beginning of the episode.
But she didn't really have a regeneration, though, did she, when she came back to life? It's just
no, that
really
was a terraform, wasn't it?
From the thing,
So she probably regenerated into Oswin.
That's an idea.
Yeah. You never know.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe that is what's going on.
Yeah, who does know?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Right. Go.uk.
Go on, Reese. I'll have my say in a moment.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was run of the mill, but I thought that was a good thing. We had running down corridors, we had some funny lines from Donna, and we had some excellent acting from David Tennant and Georgia Moffat. Or Moffat.
Moffat.
Because it's with an E and not an A.
Yeah. Oh, I quite like this one. It's like you say, it is run of the mill, but it's
it's not bad though, is it?
A more sort of enjoyable run of the mill episode than some.
And this particular series is my favorite series of New Who.
Yeah, I'd have to say that too. Yeah,
so even though it's my least favorite, I'd say, of this particular set, it's not bad.
Yeah,
it's not Curse of the Black Plague, is it?
It's
that's
all right.
Correct.
No, I mean, the only things I don't like about it is the cheesiness of it, you know, the cheesy lines that are in it in relation to, Martha. I know, same thing.
Yes.
But other than that, I actually enjoy this better than the last story. Probably because it's a one-parter.
I think I like the other two more.
I think I would have liked the other two more if they'd been one-parter. Just was a little bit too long. Well, that's the Doctor's daughter. Next week, of course, we'll be looking at the waspy one.
Unicorn on the wasp.
And I'm afraid we'll have to record on Monday again next week because I'm filming a wedding on Saturday, and I'm filming a wedding on Sunday, which leaves me with Monday as the only option, I'm afraid.
Lots of people getting married.
Yes, indeed. Anyway, as I was alluding to, we had this email from Jonathan Slater, and he says, "Hello to Adam, Alicia, Kirby, Robert, Reese." Mary's not here. I am Jonathan Slater, the producer of Tadpole Tech on VTWProductions.com. I stumbled across your podcast tonight. I hope you didn't injure yourself. By honestly using Stumble Upon to search for Doctor Who. I listened to your latest episode and really enjoy it. Our friend Michael Gaines runs the Hooniverse podcast. His show is short, but only due to having so many other podcasts to record for, and he works from home. So, to the point, Tadpole Tech is an indie geeky stroke nerdy tech show that covers of course, tech, gadgets, nerd news, video games, and bacon. We review television.
Yay for bacon.
We review television shows and movies that may be of interest to our listeners. We have the following date open. If any of your staff would like
staff?
To be
staff.
What about dysentery? Staff and dysentery.
Would like to be a guest on our show. The 19th of December. We record our show each Wednesday night at 6:30 PM PST, 9:30 PM EST, unless the guest has
FPMS.
A specific unless the guest has a specific night that works best. Our episodes usually run anywhere from an hour to an hour and 30 minutes, depending on the length of the news stories, guest input, etc. I personally think this would be great in cross-promoting your show and our podcast, and possibly our name said in your podcast. Darn, I've already done that. If this works for you and you'd like to guest on our podcast, please send us an email to... Should I say that on air? What do you reckon?
Probably not.
Okay, I won't then. Tadpole Tech can be heard on iTunes as well as Stitcher Radio. We air Fridays.
I'm searching for it. I can't find it.
We air.
How do you spell it?
T A
T.
We you spell it T A D P double O L Tadpole.
Oh, that's why.
Not tadpole. Tadpole.
You were spelling tadpole, weren't you?
So were you.
We air Fridays. Stop talking over my plug. We air Fridays at 2 p.m. EST on vtwproductions.com. Thank you very much, Jonathan. Yes, so I have replied to that.
Sure.
Yeah.
The time's fine by me, but good grief. What time of day is that going to be for you?
Yeah, precisely.
Don't know.
It'd be late, early morning for me.
Hmm. I don't know. It might be easier for one of you lot to do it. Well, Kirby.
A specific one of us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Well, so Reese likes being on lots of podcasts, doesn't he?
Yeah, another one to your collection, Reese.
So have you replied that we will?
I've replied that somebody will from our show, yes. Is that all right? Sure. I haven't said you, but...
And Mary,
quite contrary. How does your garden grow?
Silver bells and cockle shells and pretty maids all in a row.
Indeed, that's what I just said.
They don't even have all their episodes out. They start at episode 32.
Oh, well, dear.
Not 42.
No.
Unless you can go to their website. If they have a website.
Anyway, so that was...
text message. The TARDIS just...
It's not from... Ooh. Oh, that's probably me sending you an email.
Yes.
From Tadpole Tech Podcast.
Amazing.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's speed of light, you know. Right. I'm going to see if I can find something on the news in relation to some program we're supposed to be talking about.
Which program would that be?
Doctor something.
Oh, yes. There's definitely news. There's Flavia.
I'll wait for it's me. Right. What about Flavia?
Time Lady Chancellor Flavia, actress Dinah Sheridan, passed away.
Oh. That's a shame.
Really? How old?
Let's see. She was born in 1920.
Oh, I suppose that's a pretty good innings, isn't
92.
It?
She was 92.
92,
Mind you, when you watch something like The Five Doctors, everybody still seems like they're the age, though, I suppose, so... You don't seem to think that they're aging, I guess.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, we did have obviously Larry Hagman, a timeless actor, passed away very recently, and I didn't believe 81 he was. It's just amazing. I mean, I know he was dying of cancer, but he did look particularly good for 81. And Yoko Ono, as I was doing my research for my Beatles quiz book,
she's getting on
79. She is. It's amazing.
Cool.
Yes, and your note about Dinah Sheridan, 1920 to 2012, like I say, good innings, very sad, always sad. But she was with she starred in The Railway Children with Bernard Cribbins.
Was Jenny Agutter in that one?
In The Railway Children.
She was in one of them.
She was in The Railway
Children.
She was
in one of the series, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, bless. And her daughter was Jenny Hanley, who used to present Magpie. And when I was a young person, I used to watch Magpie because Jenny Hanley was so very beautiful. She was still going strong, obviously, Jenny Hanley. But yeah, sad news. Right, moving on to other news. Symphonic Spectacular run extended again.
Yes.
More performances have been added to next month's Doctor Who Symphonic Spectacular for a second time. The event at Sydney Opera House. Was it at Sydney Opera House when you went, Rhys?
No, it was down in Melbourne.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Are you going to go to the one at Sydney Opera House, or is it too far to go?
Oh, the tickets are booked. Ooh. I'm going.
Ah, so have you ever been to Sydney Opera House before?
I've been outside it, I haven't been in it, so this is going to be quite an experience.
Yeah, so I mean, I was imagining, because obviously it's quite an iconic building for around the world, especially if you live in Australia, so it'd be quite a thrill to go there.
It's a Symphonic Spectacular, not the Doctor Who experience. You said quite an experience.
Very funny.
Yes, but that's got nothing to do with that. I'm going to say being in the building is an experience.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say myself, yes. Performed by the Metropolitan Orchestra, conducted by Ben Foster. Of course, last time you went, it was conducted by the man himself, was it not?
No, it was conducted by Ben, but the man himself was in the audience.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah. He came up on stage and played two songs at the end.
Cool. Of course, piano. Alex Kingston and Mark Williams are presenting.
I can sadly say that with email communication with the Sydney Opera House, I won't be getting interviews with them. I tried, but I won't be.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, I saw that you posted that.
I'm glad you tried. It's nice of you to try.
At least you tried. Indeed. Yeah.
He's always very trying.
You can't but ask. Yeah. Aww. Don't be mean.
Adam is too. Don't worry.
What? The fifth in our occasional series marking the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who events leading up to the creation of the True TV Legend. Captain Pugwash and stuff like that. I'm not going to read that. That's quite a long piece. Oh, this is quite interesting. This is quite interesting. Ooh, this is the TV scheduling for Friday, the 23rd of November, 1962.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Don't know what that's got to do with Doctor Who, but there you go.
Captain Pugwash was on at 5:10 p.m.
Oh, does that mean to say... And that's a colour cartoon series. I didn't realise it. Obviously, they showed it in the black and white days of TV. I used to love Captain Pugwash.
I loved it too. And then they did the new version, didn't they?
Did they?
Yeah, they did a new version with CGI, I think.
Yeah.
Not the same. It's not the same. I love the old Captain Pugwash.
Of course,
Captain Pugwash.
There was news going on in America that the day before. Why?
This is
1962.
We're talking
62.
Here.
I'm sorry.
Yes, he still had a good year to go before that.
Okay.
Anyway, moving on. Saturday, the 24th of November, 1962. Dixon of Doc Green was on at 6:30, and that's obviously where they nicked the prop for the TARDIS from.
obvious to you. I have no idea what that is.
And they got ITV schedules.
ITV
scheduling for the same time. Yeah, go on. Sorry, you were saying.
They did an episode of the Daleks' Master Plan with the Dixon of Doc Green kind of setting.
Ah. But interesting to note that on ITV on Saturday, the 24th of November, 1962, at 8:25 p.m. was Bruce's show, hosted by Bruce Forsyth, who is now Sir Bruce Forsyth, who presents Strictly Come Dancing. So he's still going in his 80s, bless him.
And The Avengers was on at 10:05 p.m. on Saturday night.
It was.
Ooh.
Take your pick.
Oh, not the cool one.
What else have we got here? That's quite an interesting piece, actually. Children Need auction results. Matt Smith's handcast went for £700. Matt Smith's autograph went for £297. Pudsey Bear, signed by David Tennant, went for £720. Pudsey Bear, signed by John Barrowman, went for £6.11. No, I made a lie. It's £410.
That's a heavy bear.
Bonham's Entertainment Media Auction. There's a lot called Lot 147 Doctor Who A TARDIS Panel, which is basically the TARDIS from the 1987. Well, I think so. TARDIS Panel.
Yes.
Estimated value $800.
Oh, that was, you know, the Doctor Who, the one who created the graphics for the Sylvester McCoy era. It was given to them.
Oh, okay.
Planet
Spiders.
Oh, Robots of Death costume.
Planet Spider script and the costume for Robots of Death, yes.
I'd love that.
What, the script or the costume?
Oh, the costume.
Both.
Cool.
Yeah.
Please do not throw hands.
Sarah Jane Smith's car.
No, they can't get rid of that. Aww.
And they have got a full list of the items.
1991 Cigaro.
It belongs in a museum.
Yes.
Yeah. No, Mr. Jones, you belong. That's, oh, wait. That's,
yes.
The Great Detective, which is obviously the prequel, overnight figures of 3.3 million. And the Snowmen was watched by 8.6 million. The preview for it, not the actual episode. We didn't see that. Magic's just knocked the table. I hope that doesn't disconnect the power. That's good.
Right. Hey.
Yes?
Oh.
Hey, or? Oh. Is that a song? Oh dear, he's just knocked his sound out by going eight or really loudly.
Fine.
Oh well. some people might say that's a good thing. BBC America have, whilst his microphone recovers, BBC America have announced details of all new Christmas special. A lovely picture from the Snowman of the Doctor with Jenna Louise Coleman. Yeah, what else we got here? Oh, the video. That's about it, as far as news goes, anyway.
Yeah, we're getting the Christmas special on Christmas. Isn't that amazing?
Yes. Oh.
Yeah,
we're not.
Boxing Day. There's no mention that if it's on iView either, so.
Mm.
We'll have to keep an eye out, Reese.
Fair point, it might be, yeah. We will.
Mm. Yeah.
So are we going to record immediately after seeing it, or?
Excuse me?
Why, have you just let one go?
Give us a chance to watch.
Excuse me.
Oh, I'm sad about Flavia. Chancellor Flavia.
Yeah, she was one of my favorite characters in that story.
Well, RTD always talked up the Flavia-type music, didn't he?
Yes.
That's why, she always... shame. Suppose we all have to die sometime, though, don't we?
Here's a post.
Way to bring us down.
Here's a post on Facebook from Reese Pardon, Merlin to end after Series 5.
Yeah.
Disgraceful.
How are they going to end it?
Probably by killing off King Arthur, I'd imagine. I mean, it seems like a logical thing to do when they've been alluding to that. Anyway, moving on, back to Doctor Who. I did go and see a film yesterday. Or was it the day
what
before?
Film?
It was a film called Nativity 2, which features David Tennant playing a school teacher of a primary school. Now,
did you see it in
physics?
What? No, he doesn't say that. David Tennant is very good in this story.
Was that the cinema? About, was it?
That's about as far as you can go with it for me.
What is this thing called?
The Nativity 2. It's a sequel to The Nativity.
Fancy that.
Yeah. Tennant, very good. He plays two characters. He plays twin brothers. One's quite a sort of up-his-arse type character, and the other one's the nice one who's the main character in the story.
The Guardian says, David Tennant fails to sparkle in dual roles in this awful Christmas comedy.
It's not very good. But he's okay. He's quite likeable in it. So he doesn't. It's never going to shine. He's playing a sort of namby-pamby sort of teacher, school teacher. But No, he doesn't. He's likable in it. But it's one of the worst films I've had to sit through in the cinema. And I'm quite easygoing, but it's cheesy and annoying beyond belief. I like kids, as you well know, but and the kids are quite funny in it, and they're really, really quite good. I think a lot of it's improvisation, a lot of what the kids do in it, and that's quite good. That's nice, but it's really not very good. So it might be a nice one for you to get on DVD for your younger children, because Isabella did like it; she was giggling away. But that's about as far as its audience levels go, I think. I'm afraid. There are some minorly funny moments in it that the kids loved. Well, I say in the cinema, the kids were giggling away. But I was dozing off. And for me, the only interesting aspect of it was, in fact, David Tennant. I mean, the previous film, the starring role was with the actor who's now in The Hobbit, the main actor from The Hobbit. Do you remember the name of that actor who was
Martin
in Shakespeare?
Freeman.
Well
Martin
done.
Freeman.
Well done. Martin Freeman. No, there's only one of them.
You mean Arthur Dent?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, him. He was in the starring role.
You mean Dr. John Watson?
Obviously, they couldn't get him back for the sequel, so they got David Tennant in. Yeah.
You mean Bilbo? Bilbo Baggins.
And there was in fact a preview of The Hobbit watching the film. Now, I think one of the actors must have been Sylvester McCoy, but he's so made up you can't tell which one it is.
Yes, he is.
But yeah, that's about it as far as that goes. I'm not impressed. Yeah,
I went to the cinema over the weekend as well. Saw Lincoln.
Did you
Steven Spielberg?
Ah, no, I do sound like the sound of that one.
It was excellent. It was excellent.
Surely you know what happens at the end though with that sort of film.
There were no trailers at the beginning of it at all. It was odd. I haven't been to the theater in a long time where they had no trailers.
Wow.
I've seen what's coming.
I thought that was one of the main part of a cinema experience is trailers.
Yeah.
For me, one of the main annoying parts of cinema experience. Because normally the popcorn's gone before the film starts.
With you, maybe.
Shut
me
up.
Too.
Anyway, eBay. Right. The most expensive item on eBay this week, without any biz next to it, surprise, surprise, is a full-size Dalek that I mentioned last week, £3,200. Right, let's see if anybody's buying anything.
I'm looking forward
eBay.
To see if we get pictures of Mary with the Daleks that were at Chicago TARDIS.
Yeah. Did you go to it then?
No.
Oh, I thought you did. Never mind.
I can't get up there.
Can you? Oh, sorry.
I'd love to go, but...
Okay. I'm just a bit worried that...
I was attending it... via the internet.
Oh, okay. Well, no, just Mary. Have you seen some of the pictures? Mary's hobnobbing with all sorts of top-rated podcasting celebrities up
Dr.
there.
Yeah, Dr. Phil.
Yeah, Steve Shapansky, wasn't it? I'm sure I saw a picture of her with him.
Yeah.
Yes, and I remember, no doubt he said, who? The 20 megabyte what? To her when speaking.
When? Where?
But
well, I like her shirt.
And I mean, she's very, very good. Obviously, she's on our show. I'm just a bit worried that some of them might have tried to poach her from us.
Pardon?
Did you know?
Hey, no.
She had a T-shirt with large 20.
Yes. And Stephen Shapansky still said, "Who? Never heard of him."
His memory cheats.
Yeah, very good. Right, the number one item on eBay this week with bids against it is at a whopping £510.
Ooh.
And what it is the character building super rare Doctor Who figure in a set and a gold base. Yeah, the gold base ones, series two, which is basically the Roman Rory, I think, the Doctor with a beard and a straight jacket, the Silent with his mouth open, is it? Let's have a look. It's Silent of some variety, Amy with a sword, and River Song.
With a sword.
Now, it's interesting for me to mention these ultra rare figures. £510, and nine people have bid against this thing. They've just just have released the third series of character building Doctor Who figures. So I'm looking forward to seeing them and gradually picking them up. Don't know where I'm going to get them from. Probably whowon.co.uk. But actually in the shop
that's
rather than
online. That's a
good
place to get them. Mm. whowon.co.uk.
Yeah, I'd recommend anybody if they want to get the character building figures from Doctor Who from whowon.co.uk. And the second item in our eBay thingamajig is character building super rare Doctor Who figures on a silver base. This consists of the Raggedy Doctor, the Doctor in the football kit, another Amy figure, these half materialised Angel and the Silurian. £460 so far that's going for. Yes, I can see you're impressed. And
yes, we're very impressed.
That was the end. That concludes page one. I'm hoping I find a third item before I've got to go and make the bed of anything a minute and try and get tickets for the Isle of Wight Festival.
I was pretty impressed. You just said you could see me.
Make a bed.
Ah, here we are. Third item, ultra rare hologram ninth
Doctor. Are you good at making beds?
Be quiet. Ultra rare hologram ninth Doctor action figure, Doctor Who character from Doctor
saw that.
Who character options, £240, 16
far
bids.
Out. 1 day, 8 hours, and 23 minutes.
Yeah, oh, it's the same. I never knew that was out. Cool. Is it basically supposed to be like the hologram one for when he's in the regeneration episode?
Yeah.
Parting of the ways. If you see if you're seeing this figure, I'm dead or dying.
If you're seeing this,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah. Oh, I never even knew that was out. I'm impressed. But there you go. That's £240 if you want to buy that. And that concludes eBay for this week. Now then, that's a little quiz question for you. As I'm in a sort of a quiz book sort of mood at the moment. What do you think, apart from Mary, is missing from this episode of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast?
Huh?
What do you think, apart from Mary, is missing from this episode of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast?
Ben.
Alicia.
Wrong.
Yeah, Alicia.
No. Ian Kirk.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Ian.
Ian.
Where are you?
Where are you?
Kirk. Ian. Captain.
There's a cat parrot. That's me. No, Ian this week, so I'm missing you, Ian.
Hey, can I just say something?
You can. You're going to say it anyway.
First Doctor and Dalek Saucer Commander box, well, figure set, right?
Yes.
And the First Doctor's in black and white.
He is?
Yeah, it looks like he's in black and
white. Oh, yes, he was. The First and Second Doctors were released originally in black and white.
Oh, but so, £4, that's not bad.
Is this the character, it's a little mini character one?
No.
Yeah, the 5-inch one. They were. I did originally have the First Doctor in black and white version and the Second Doctor, but I wanted them in colour, so I got rid of them. Because I wanted the colour ones. Just looks better on the mantelpiece in the colour.
Yeah. But you still sort of kept the first ones.
No, I didn't. No. Sorry.
Mm.
Anyway, that's...
another Doctor Who fan.
Aren't I? That's, that's probably about it for this week. Hopefully next week we'll have Mary back and Ian.
Where she can give us a long...
Oh, you know what I've just found?
What?
One Doctor Who Karen Gillan sexy new jumbo fridge magnet.
Lovely.
Ooh.
When you just said that, that's what reminded me that...
like that.
The blokes from the Titanium Bunker mentioned some. I think it was on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group that you know they brought out that game that we inspired. Where on Earth is Colin Baker?
They brought out another
one in relation to Colin Baker.
I saw that.
Yeah. Right, so that's probably about it.
Aww.
Oh, indeed.
Yeah. Aww.
Right. So
I'm looking forward to a long. Report from Chicago TARDIS.
Yes, well, Mary has, as Mary said, in her report that her recording facility failed her, so she wasn't able to record anything other than the message with Dr. Phil and Matthew, which I think was recorded on Dr. Phil's recording device. So, no interviews with any stars, but she will have lots of stories. Mm. And that'll be next week, hopefully.
Hey, you know what I've just found?
Your underpants?
No. It's Doctor Who collection of 12 autographs. Trouble is they're personalised, but the good thing is if I bought them, they're addressed to, it says, to Robert.
Oh, cool. Well, there's somebody else called Dab and
Janet Fielding,
Adam
Janet
and Debbie.
Fielding, Jacqueline Hill, the Brigadier, Jamie.
I wonder how Janet Fielding is, because she had cancer, didn't she?
I know, yeah.
Yeah. Let's hope she can recover from that. Anyway, right. So, thank you for joining us this week. I look forward to having Mary and Ian back next week. And until then, goodbye.
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 Goodbye. Goodbye.
Love that Doctor Who podcast is an ABP Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who podcast alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.